Last week we were introduced to this song on the DVD. I hope that you remember it and will join in with us. Please stand if you're able. Heart of worship.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and the symphony comes. Just to bring something that's the worst, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. No one could express how much you deserve. But I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, as a single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
It is all about you. It's not about who's talking to us, what's going on around us. But let us focus our heart and our mind and our soul on you and the message that you would have us hear tonight. Amen. Here I am to worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. You see that nature's heart adore you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, You are wonderful. You're altogether lovely and worthy, and we are so worthless. We are so unworthy of your love, but you give it to us anyway. Tonight, let us show you how grateful we are. Amen. Praise Adonai. Our speaker tonight is Carol Simpson. And Carol, my son was playing with the microphone earlier. Sorry, so if you need to adjust it, let us welcome Carol.
Brother Larry asked me to speak into the microphone because it's being recorded while he's cleaning up the kitchen. He said he wanted to hear it later. Not so sure I want him to hear it. That'll be good. My name's Carol Simpson. I've been a member of this church for a long time, and I'm tickled to death to see all the young people here. Part of what I'm going to talk about this evening are the children, so you're in good shape to be here. They didn't put the title of my little talk on here, and few of you have heard me talk about what my plans are, but what I'm talking about tonight is halo or no halo. So, and the focus is these features that we have in the church, the six panels of stained glass windows. And I don't want to say that Brother Larry doesn't have riveting sermons, but occasionally, like when I don't know all the words to a song, I'll be looking at, I just go to these panels because there are such faith stories in them. And I'd like to share some of my thoughts. They're just my thoughts and my opinions. But I'd like to share them with you and how much of a blessing I think these six stained glass windows are. So without further ado, and my son got off the hook and my friend Mike got off the hook tonight because I was going to have them shine lights in so you could see them better, but it's too cold and they're two wussies. So anyway, panel number one, we're going to go back over here, and we've just experienced the Christmas season and hopefully once again pondered the miracle of Jesus' virgin birth and the fact that he's the King of Kings of our life. And so in this panel, Jesus has a halo, which means he is in the God manifestation of Jesus. It was a miracle that he was born. It was a miracle that the star showed where he was to the kings. And so it's pretty simple on panel one that he has a halo. And he's in the God spirit there. In panel two, once again, we have Jesus with a halo. And I did find a scripture, thanks to one of my biker friends that I met in West Virginia, who's studying to get his doctorate. So he helped me with scripture this past weekend. I was in West Virginia. It's Matthew 14, and it's 24 to 31, if you want to read all of it. But the part that I brought out was, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus had been praying back there in the mountains somewhere after a big meeting with some of the folks. And his disciples had got in a boat and went out into the middle of the lake and gone to sleep and get some rest after a busy day. So when it was time for him to get to the boat, they were sleeping. It was kind of rough waters, but he just walked on the water out to the boat. And I'd say that's pretty miraculous, and not many of us can do it. Although Peter did, for a fleeting moment, walk on the water. Because Jesus has been operating in his God form, he could keep his focus in a perfect way and not slip into the waves. Peter, on the other hand, is just like us, pure human. We strive to be like Jesus, and even though we experience brief moments of activity that are miraculous, like rescuing another person from a fire, lifting a car off of an accident victim, acing a test, saying that just the right thing to help a friend, we all falter somewhere in life, and because we have taken our focus away from God. So that's very inspirational to me. Only God can constantly and consistently perform miracles like walking on water that defy the very physics of the world he created. So sometimes that's my focus. Sometimes I just come in here and look at the stained glass windows and try to get inspiration to focus on God and find solutions to my problems or find a better way to live. So then we're going to go to panel three, no halo, no halo in panel three, and that is Jesus with the children. The scripture that I found for that is Mark 10:13-15, and it says, And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And that doesn't mean that you can't be 15, 16, 20, 30, 50 to get to come to God. It means you're in a childlike spirit when you come to God. At least that's what it means to me. But Jesus didn't have a halo here. Well, what does that mean? That means that every one of us can suffer the little children. That's what we're called to do. Whether it's talking to an elderly person that never found God in his whole life and is facing the final weeks or days of their life, and has many, many questions and finally finds faith, we're leading that child person to God when we spend time with that person. And the little children, I'm just so tickled to see all these young folks here. It's just wonderful. And who's ever led them here, and all each of you who are in your faith search, I kind of thought that I joined my first church when I was 14. I'd been through the, wasn't called instructions, but the process. And so I thought, later in my life, I thought, well, if you have to go through 40 years of wilderness, when I got to be 54, I'd have it made and get to the promised land. And I passed 54 a while back. I'm not there. I'm still in the wilderness. But it's good for each of us to emulate Jesus here, and we can do it. That's what we're called to do, is to reach out to the children, and that's people who are childlike in their faith. So that's what that means to me. Plus, it also inspires me to spend time with my kids and my grandchildren. Excuse me, I got lost. And the final sentence I have here is, we don't have to have a halo any more than Jesus did to perform this most basic calling, to minister to children regardless of their age. Okay, now we're going to move on to panel four, which I had until I spent the weekend around my friend who's seeking his doctorate in divinity. I kind of had this all wrong, and he got me straight on the path. And so the scripture that I use for this one, Jesus in the garden, he has a halo. So he's in the God spirit. What does that mean that he's doing that we as humans can't? And when the soldiers and so forth came and he said, you know, I'm Jesus. You looking for me? Here I am. I mean, how many of you, knowing what Jesus knew, that what he was going to face, would just go, hey, here I am. You know, that's pretty God-like to have that much faith to not run away from what he was facing. And Peter even took up a sword against these soldiers, and then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He knew what he was facing. He prayed to God if he could make the cup pass from him. But God said, that son, this is what you have to do as God on earth. And he accepted that. And I think very few of us could accept that for our faith. So he definitely had a halo there. It was total acceptance. In human form, Jesus could have never accomplished this task to accept the coming torture and crucifixion. Okay, panel number five. Jesus is on the cross. And I asked Dylan ahead of time if he'd help me. So could you stand up right by there? There is no halo on Jesus when he's on the cross. Can you reach up on his forehead and see what is there? It's different. Oh, help him. Help, help. A crown of what? In that stained glass, the artist had some kind of unique inspiration. There's actually a metal crown of thorns that sticks out from that glass. Can you see it, Dylan? Yeah. Sticks out from glass. So I ask all of you to kind of look at the uniqueness of the art that we have here in our church. Thank you, Dylan. Jesus is on the cross. It's Matthew 27:46. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He has no halo. He had to suffer as purely a human man on that cross for our sins. That's how much love he had for us. And that's human suffering there. That meant so much to us for generations and generations and thousands of years. We too, as Christians, will suffer. I can't say that I've had many instances of suffering for being a Christian. We have a very wonderful country we live in. I do study history, World War II, lots of people suffered for their beliefs. And I have had occasion when people, you know, kind of mock me, say, "Oh, you biker chick, what do you mean you're a Christian?" You know, and I'm going, "Well, you know." Amazingly enough, the two do go hand in hand on occasion. And we will suffer. And younger people, you may suffer. Because it's probably not a very popular thing in your school to be a Christian and say, "I'm not going to do drugs, I'm not going to drink, I'm going to hang with good friends, I'm going to find healthy things to do, I'm going to go camping instead of hijacking cars." You know? So I really applaud each of you for being here and for seeking your faith. I think it's a wonderful thing. But just know that you will sometime suffer for your faith, and it'll be painful, but God will appreciate it. We will question God. We will question His knowledge and His intent. Even though it is perfect above our understanding, we want our own way. Sometimes you just have to let go and let God. The final gift of grace was, "In my house there are many mansions. I go now to prepare a place for you." Just remember that, no matter what comes forward in your life. And, you know, every old generation says, "Ah, the world's going the bad way." And and the younger people say, "It's a great world, you know." So trust me, when you get my age, you'll be going, "What's happening to this world?" And you will have suffered some for your Christianity. Okay. But there is a place for you, and houses have many mansions. I heard that you have to be real, real quiet when you go by the Baptist mansion in God's house, because they think they're the only ones there. Anyway, so, see, we enjoy our faith also, do we not? Okay, now we're going to go on to panel 6, and that's the Ascension, which is one of God's greatest mysteries. How in the world, when Jesus died on the cross, He was buried in a tomb. 3 days later, He got up, He walked on the earth in a slightly different face and body, although you could see the marks, the nail marks on His body. And then several days later, in a human form, He just ascends into heaven with a host of angels singing and trumpets blowing and Lord knows what, but there He definitely has a halo. I don't expect to do that myself. But here's the scripture for that. "Then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." We are never going to be in a physical body and before other humans float up to heaven. That's not going to happen. That's God in a body right there. And before the Ascension, He spoke saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We have a lot of people that we love here on earth, and they die and they leave us, and we hold a part of them in our heart. But I think this is truly Jesus in the God Spirit, because He is always with us, always. So, I don't think this is the end of the descriptions of the stained glass panels. I think it might be the beginning. And as months, weeks, years go by, I'd be interested in having conversation with any of you, because I'm so interested in our faith, our interpretation, our spiritual interpretation of this, and we have other stained glasses, and I just enjoy healthy Christian conversation. So I thank you very much for your time this evening, and I certainly enjoyed being able to speak to you.
you, Carol. And I think art and especially these stained glass windows are a wonderful way to share the story in another form. And I think they're just as important as a spoken word, especially to children who can't read yet, that they can look at these pictures and they can learn the stories of Jesus. And it just reinforces what they're learning in Sunday school and in church and at home. Thank you so much. Each person will be given a note card and a pencil, and I'll give you just a minute for Travis and Jessica to pass those out. As we prepare for meditative prayer, let us stay focused and prepared. Everyone can face the front. This will be, again, a meditative prayer where we'll be reflecting on things from our past. Carol talked about stories that we learned as children. Some of you learned Bible stories early on as children, and some didn't learn Bible stories till later in life. But I want you to think for a moment about a story that has a great deal of meaning to you. Again, maybe a favorite as a child or as an adult, but a story that has some sort of significance, or maybe you don't know why you liked it so much. And I want you just to write down a keyword on the top of your note card to help you remember that story. And as Feta plays, what could God be saying to you tonight through that story? What message might God have for you? Something that, a story that's dear to your heart, or is maybe a shared story with a loved one, a favorite passage. But what is God speaking to you tonight through that story? Let us spend some time in prayer with God and see what God may be telling us. better as one day. Any prayer requests this evening? Yes, Allie? What was her name? Okay. No, that's okay. I don't know who that is, and I'm sorry. Well, even if he was from Tay, if he's a NASCAR driver, I wouldn't know that either, but that's okay. Thanks. I appreciate it. There was another prayer request. Was it Travis? Did you have one? Same one. Jennifer? Some of y'all know Ralph Hoffer. Are there any others? Dorothy. Are there any others? Are there any others? Oh, yes, Jim. And that's the 23rd.
Visas get expired or whatever. They finish in June, and we need to start the process of getting new visas or renew them by June. If we don't get them, we have to leave the country by June this year. So, and tomorrow we go to see our attorney and get all the information what we need for that. So just, yeah, it's on time. If you can pray today.
Visas for the Yatsky family. Are there any others? Tracy, would you close us in prayer? Stand with me as we sing, "They'll Know We Are Christians."
We are one in the Spirit, we are one with the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. As we pray,
announcements before we leave. Next week, Jamie Gross will be giving the message, and he'll be talking about what I learned about God from Finding Nemo. And for any of you that have had a conversation with me lately, that's all we watch at my house. I have no idea what's going on in the world because I'm watching Finding Nemo. So, and we have had people sign up for the Wednesday night services through February 14th, so if you feel called, we also have a few people that have taken the last couple of slots, but if you feel called to speak, beginning, I guess that would be the beginning of the season of Lent, then please see me, or you can see Sveta, we'll get you signed up, and we'll have a safe and warm night.
And again, if you feel that the Lord is calling you to join our worship band, if you want to sing or play percussion instruments, play guitar, bass guitar, keyboards, so you just be attentive to the voice of the Lord and join us.
You look tired.
You do, good man. But I got a doctor.
Hey, where's he from?